is Sam Mayo. Welcome to sammayo.podomatic.com. You're about to listen to a brief excerpt from my travel memoir, Miraculous Air, Journey of 1,000 Miles Through Baja California, the Other Mexico. This is from a section of the chapter, The Sea is Cortez. It took place during the late 1990s. The title of this section is The East Cape. Hell, I knew it was paradise. Ray Cannon wanted to see a dying Dorado. It is an uncanny sight. Once hooked, its silvery blue back turns an iridescent green, its flanks saffron with bright blue polka dots, while its fins blush peacock blue. But the Dorado, also called mahi-mahi, is not an easy thing to kill. After a typically acrobatic flight, when some 30 pounds of twisting, leaping rainbow of a fish is finally subdued, the fisherman must club it, and then, once the fish is brought on deck, he must club it again. Incidentally, advise the authors of The Baja Catch, when we say you need a club, we're not talking about 10 inches of broomstick. For Big Dorado, you want something on the order of a kid's metal baseball bat, or better. When, at the Rancho Buena Vista Lodge, Ray Cannon made his request known, it was Bob Van Wormer, who was enlisted to assist. That was how the two first met, here on the East Cape, in 1957. Cabo San Lucas was just a ramshackle village with a fish cannery then, its one hotel, the Palmilla, out on the dirt road to San Jose del Cabo, but 2 years old. Rancho Buena Vista, 50 miles up the Sea of Cortez, near Los Barriles, was its sole competitor. Ray Cannon didn't get to see a dying Dorado. As it turned out, all they could hook that day were sailfish. But a friendship was formed, which deepened as Cannon continued to fish, photograph, and write about the, quote, biggest angling news scoop of half a century. Rancho Buena Vista Lodge, one of a number of Baja California hotels and airlines that, over the years, would host Cannon for his PR services, began to fill up with fly-in sport fishermen. By the time his book, The Sea of Cortez, appeared in 1966, Rancho Buena Vista's reputation as one of the premier sport fishing resorts in the world was shining bright. Ray remembered his young friend Bobby in his book, and Van Wormer, now a snow-haired paterfamilias, owner with his Mexican wife Cha-Cha, of 3 East Cape resort hotels and the peninsula's largest sport fishing fleet, remembered Ray. Ray Cannon, he said, and a look came over his wrinkled face like a little boy's on Christmas morning. We were sitting on the patio of his Hotel Palmas de Cortez, just up the road from the fabled Rancho Buena Vista. A band was playing ranchero music as his guests, American men mostly, snaked by the buffet of enchiladas and chicken mole. The air felt like a lazy embrace, warm and salty. Moonlight fell on the water below in a sweep of silver. On nights like this, Ray would sit on the porch and tell jokes and stories. I'd seen his picture on the jacket of his book, The Sea of Cortez, an old man in shapeless, water-stained khakis and a captain's hat, cigarette clenched in his mouth, hoisting a giant black snook by the gills. Ray had been a bit player in Hollywood, later a director and producer. And then he left it all to fish and write about fishing. A flicker of interest had been awakened north of the border by Steinbeck's Log from the Sea of Cortez. But Ray's magazine articles and glossy coffee table book, chock full of fish stories, were what brought down the first wave of big spending tourists. As an industry, Baja California's sport fishing began with him. Bob chuckled. His was a round Dutch face with hooded pale blue eyes. He was in his 70s now, looking back on a lifetime. The surf lapped the shore below with a soft shush. Forks clinked against plates. Men's voices hummed in conversation over the drums and guitars of the ranchera band. Yet I could hear clearly every word that he said. Herb Tansey owned Rancho Buena Vista then. He was the one who put up Ray Cannon. They were great friends. Tansey was an ex-captain for Trans World Airlines. He was the sole survivor of a crash in Shannon, Ireland. He lost his leg, spent a year in the hospital. But with the compensation from TWA, he bought Rancho Buena Vista. My brother used to come down, and he would tell me how great the fishing was. Bob didn't get down to Rancho Buena Vista until New Year's of 1957. At the time, he was working as an aircraft mechanic in San Diego. A farm boy from St. Joseph, Missouri, Bob had seen some of the world during World War II when he was stationed in North Africa and India. But Baja, that was something else. God! He laid both his hands flat on the table. Jesus! Miles of beaches! Bob came right back and stayed to work for Herb. It was an idyllic time. Bob was young, unmarried, a man who liked to fish in a place where the fishing was fantastic. His welding and handyman skills, not to mention his English, made him a valued, in fact, the most valued employee in a resort that, thanks to Ray Cannon's publicity, had become the biggest business on the East Cape. But Herb Tansey, the one-legged pilot, liked to drink. Late one afternoon in 1959, after hitting the bars in La Paz, he got in his plane with his friend Artie Young to fly back to Buena Vista. He got lost. Soon it was dark. He flew around in circles until he ran out of gas and crashed on a mountaintop near the little mining town of El Triunfo. Bob was the one who went to retrieve the bodies. It was a miserable sight, just pathetic. He and Artie had all these liquor bottles in the back that broke when they crashed, so they were covered with liquor. But it was amazing. The people didn't take anything. Wallets, rings. I found everything on their bodies. I took Herb's wallet out of his pocket, and they had the payroll for Buena Vista. It was all there in a paper bag. I had to take it out and count it in front of the mayor. I hired a flatbed truck to cart the bodies out. And since we had to drive over washboard roads, I had to get 6 Mexicans to sit on the back of the truck to keep the bodies from rolling off. I buried Herb in front of his house at Buena Vista. He'd said to me, "I love this place and these people more than anything in my life." I could write a book about the parties he used to give. He'd have an open bar. The Mexicans loved that guy. I'd never seen so many people cry at a funeral. The cab driver who helped, going back and forth with all the businesses about the funeral, he would not take one penny. Slowly, Bob shook his old white head. That's why I fell in love with this place. The people. Hell. I knew it was paradise. After Tansy's death, Rancho Buena Vista was sold to a retired United States Army colonel named Eugene Walters. The first season went well, but when it ended, Colonel Walters wanted to cut Bob's pay in half. So I left. But then, when things started rolling again, the colonel wanted me back, offering me the moon and green cheese. I said I'd go back if he offered me a 5% cut. It was a gentleman's agreement. I worked there for several years, and he never paid me my commission. So, finally, I left. Then what do you know? I get a letter from Ray Cannon. He said, Bobby, you are really part of Rancho Buena Vista. In other words, you go back home, boy. I got the same letter from the colonel's son. Two letters arrived on the same day. Go figure. That night, the colonel came by. I told him, I don't see any future for me here. I'd been working my you-know-what off, and they just used me all those years. But it was then, free of Rancho Buena Vista, at the age of 40, that Bob began to build his fortune. In 1965, he married Chacha Ruiz, the daughter of a local cattle rancher. A few miles down the coast, they built a resort at Punta Colorada, quote, the roosterfish capital of the world, catering to fly-in sport fishermen. Then, on land, where Chacha's family had grown corn, the Hotel Palmas de Cortez. Soon the Van Wormers were the moguls of the East Cape, with a third hotel, a Pemex gas station, a trailer park, a fleet of sport fishing boats, and a family of three strapping sons. I laugh about it now, Bob said, but I was bitter when I left Rancho Buena Vista. God damn it! I'd worked in good faith. I went right ahead, though. I became successful. And maybe 6 or 7 years later, I thought, that was an education. An education in the school of hard knocks. It cost me, but it was cheaper than what I would have had to pay to go to Harvard Business School. And Harvard Business School, none of those places could have taught me what I needed to know about running a hotel in a place like this. Ray Cannon came out to Punta Colorada soon after the hotel opened, and he and Bob took some underwater photos of the swarms of roosterfish, big exotic jacks with a spiky comb-like dorsal fin, rare everywhere in the world but the southern sea of Cortez. Once in a while, Ray would make a courtesy mention of Punta Colorada, but Rancho Buena Vista was the place, and the colonel was keeping Ray happy. Ray came back and forth for quite a few years, staying at Rancho Buena Vista mostly. Then, in June 1977, he died suddenly in California of a brain tumor. Bob was getting ready to go to the funeral when he stopped in to see Colonel Walters. I'd been away from Rancho Buena Vista for some years by then, and I'd gotten over it. The colonel didn't want to get on an airplane because he'd fallen and hurt his hip badly, but he felt guilty about not going to Ray's funeral. He just talked and talked about the old days. I said to him, you know, I'd rather remember Ray the way he was. I get so sick of funerals. They're the biggest bunch of crap I ever saw in my life. Wouldn't you rather remember Ray with his big belly sticking out, his captain's hat? And the colonel said, by God, I'm glad I talked to you. I said, don't go. Tell your son to represent you. You remember Ray the way he was, not in a box. Bob looked off into the distance. A stand of palm trees inked out the stars. That was the last day I saw the colonel alive. He died 3 or 4 months later. Louder now. Insects chirped and sawed. The dishes had been cleared, and the waitresses were gathering the tablecloths, ghostly pale in the moonlight. We would meet again in the morning. Thanks for listening. To learn more about my memoir, Miraculous Air, Journey of 1,000 Miles Through Baja California, The Other Mexico, I invite you to visit my website, cmmayo.com.